ready to go? Okay, wonderful. So today we are Friday, April 12th, 2019. We are doing a teaching with Missionary Enterprise, and actually this was supposed to be with Jesus Reigns Forever Ministries, our brothers and sisters, in Busia, Kenya, Africa, but they were not able to make it. But because we've got so many videos lined up to do in the next weeks or even the next few months to make up some space for the new videos that we're going to start working on for the website, which we're going to be doing also live streaming and different things like that. So today we're with Skype, but we're not doing the Skype today, but we do a lot of Skype messages. And but today is with live stream, Facebook, on YouTube. And of course, all this stuff is on Twitter, LinkedIn, and we got images on Instagram. And also, I just want to put in a little plug for podcasting, because eventually we're going to be doing some podcasting. I got my Blue Yeti right there in front of me. And what we want to do is we want to do the podcasting, which is audio, but we're going to record it too and make a video out of it too, because video, it just adds so much more because of the visual, right? The way the visual affects the imagination, the way it affects the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, all these different things, which are all things I'm going to be teaching on, because that's how the world gets to brainwash its own, and it also brainwashes the ignorant believers, the weak believers, the believers, the wayward believers, the backsliders, or that's how the world gets the Christians to backslide through the media, through the agency of the soul, the psyche, the Greek word. So anyhow, today, our key topic today is actually healing and health and divine healing. It's a very exciting subject, but also it's a controversial subject for different reasons. We're not really going to look at that today. This is going to be a short teaching, actually, maybe about 20 minutes long. My number A for my introduction today is that in order to understand this vital topic of healing and health, even called divine healing, etc., you will need to go back not only to the cross, but you'll need to go back all the way back to the Garden of Eden before the fall of mankind, which was where God had created man or put man into the garden, but there was no sickness or disease back in the garden, right? Number B of introduction, we have back in the garden, there was no such thing as sin, right? As well as poverty. Therefore, there was neither no such thing as sickness, disease, infirmity, ailments, disorders, whatever you want to call it. Whatever's in the world today causing discomfort, pain to the human physical body is not of God. It did not exist before the fall. All of that came at the fall because of the fall, okay? You got to get that settled really strong inside of you. I'm going to make a little comment here after my D, hopefully I'll remember. C, it was never our Creator's will or intent. It was never God's intent or will for mankind to have nor experience any type of affliction, etc., in or upon our physical body. None. It is not His will whatsoever. The human body was created by God Himself for wholeness, wellness, vigor, strength, and vitality. Yeah. Hallelujah. That belongs to us. It belongs to us because of the cross, because of Jesus. And number D, the proof regarding everything I've just said so far is even also found in the world. In the world. Today, spending billions, maybe trillions of dollars in preventive medicine as well as curing diseases or trying to cure diseases. I just wrote, see the charts on the internet. I found some of the stuff, the money they're spending in just a single year concerning one disease or one disorder. It's amazing. It's in the billions, like huge bill, like $250 billion for one disease in 1 year. So it's really, it was just amazing. We're surrounded by hospitals. We're surrounded by doctors, offices, pharmacies, research centers, health food stores. We're surrounded by this stuff, which proves what I'm just saying. Listen, hey, if man is trying to get healed, if man is trying to get healthy, and God was not, then man would be going against God's will in that area, but they're not. Actually, they're trying to line up with the will of God because it's such a detriment to life. sickness. I've been through some stuff in my body, man. It put me out of work one time for a whole month. I couldn't go to work. I had so much pain in my legs. And that's where the Lord began to start. He tried to deal with me about healing and health. But I had been brainwashed by the church, some of the churches I've been at, that it was not God's will for healing, or it was not His time, or He was trying to teach us something. And this is what somebody brought me to a healing crusade. I won't mention who it was because I don't really watch him. I don't follow him. But somebody brought me to this crusade, a healing crusade. This is after I got saved in 1995. And the one thing that stuck with me was this guy said, if you think it's God's will for you to be sick, to teach you something, then stop going to the doctor. Don't go for your operation. Stop going to your medicine cabinet. Quit going to the pharmacy, trying to alleviate the pain. Stop it. Endure the sickness. Learn whatever he's trying to teach you to learn. Whatever he's trying to teach you. And that stuck with me. Even though it wasn't built inside of me, I had to take that revelation, which isn't a word, and I had to build it inside of me, which I didn't at that time because I was totally ignorant. I was a new believer. So, you know, this is really causing a lot of problems, not only in the church, but in the world, you know. So let's start here, the teaching here. We have Old Testament references, but most of our references are going to be out of the New Testament. But the first one in here is, that's great, I got a blank page. Okay, page 2, great. The first one I want to look at here is Proverbs. Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. I just wrote Proverbs 4:22 there, but it's actually Proverbs 4:20 to 22, starting with verse 20. My son, attend to my words. God is speaking here. Okay? It's not just Solomon or David, whoever. It's God speaking. Okay? So attend to my word. God is saying attend to his word. Attend to his word. Consent and submit to my sayings. Verse 21. Let them not depart from your sight. Yeah, keep your eyeballs on his word. That's right. Keep them in the center of your heart. That's how you get them in your heart, by keeping your eyes on the word and your mouth on the word. That's how you're going to get into your heart and keeping it in your heart. Verse 22, for they, what's they? My words, my sayings are life. They're life, not death, life. God is about life. Death came through the fall of man, right? Through sin, and then sin, death, right? So there's no death in God. God is about life. God is about healing, health, abundance, you know? So life, not death, to those who find them. Yeah, to those who find them. So to those who don't find them, there's not life. It's death and decay and pain, sorrow, all kinds of calamities, right? And healing and health to all their flesh. I didn't write it down here, but we'll add it on after. That word healing and health, in the Hebrew, it's actually the word medicine. It's the word medicine. Look it up. Just look at your Strong's Concordance. Okay? So the next reference, the Old Testament, before we jump into the New Testament, we've got Isaiah 53. And when I teach out of Isaiah 53, verse 5, but we're going to look at 4 and 5 and 10. But out of verse 5, I can teach out of it because I got the revelation. I believe it was 2007 or 2008 when the Lord, he woke me up, or he gave me a vision, a mini vision. And it was a little piece of paper, and it was written on it, Isaiah 53, 5. Oh, no, it said, you are healed, and you were healed, or you are healed. And I knew he was referring in the dream or the vision, I knew he was referring to Isaiah 53, 5. Okay, so I can teach on it, all right? So verse 4, surely amplified, surely is born our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. You know, weakness is not of God. Weaknesses is not of God. Having a weakness in your body is not of God. Distract, carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. Verse 5, I'm going to do a whole teaching on Isaiah 52, 53 one of these days. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Yeah, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, the substitution. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Yeah. I still hear preachers to this day saying that this is spiritually speaking, and it is not. It involves the spirit, but it also has to do with the human body. Verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him instead of bruising us. Substitution. He has put him to grief and made him sick. When you and he make his life an offering for sin, and he has risen from the dead in time to come, he shall see his spiritual offsprings. Hallelujah. I'm one of them. I'm one of Jesus' spiritual offsprings. That's right, because he's the firstborn, right? He shall prolong his days, and the will and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Hallelujah. So let's move on to the New Testament. New Testament references. We're okay, yeah. All right, so let's start with Matthew 4, 23 and 24. And he, Jesus, went all about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every weakness and infirmity among the people. All right, verse 24. So the report of him, Jesus, spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all who were sick, those afflicted with various disease and torments, those under the power of demons and epileptics and paralyzed people, and he healed them. He didn't send them home. He sent them home, but he sent them home healed where there was faith. We're going to look into that. But he didn't say, well, maybe I'm going to heal you today. Maybe you're not ready to be healed today. Now, I believe Jesus was teaching and preaching before he healed. So I'm sure he was dealing with a lot of issues. But at the same time, once he dealt with the issues, if there's faith, he healed because it's his will to heal. You don't have to twist God's arm to get you healed. You just got to renew your mind, especially as a believer. You just got to renew your mind to where the word says about healing and health. That's all you got to do. So Matthew 8, we're skipping a lot of verses here, but Matthew 8, verse 16. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. All, not some, all. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. See that? All cities, villages. He's just going all over the place. This guy don't have a bike. This guy don't have a car. He don't have a Jeep. Don't have a four-wheeler. He don't have nothing. He's just got his legs, his feet. Unless he was on a donkey once in a while. But I'm just saying, this guy walked around a lot, you know. Teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. That's part of the gospel. We just did a teaching on that in Ajax concerning the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is a lot of things, but a big part of the gospel is healing and health. That's right. Matthew 10, 1 and 8. Let's start with verse 1. And Jesus summoned to himself, his 12 disciples, and gave them power and authority. This is before the cross. Over unclean spirits to drive them out. Don't entertain demons. You got to drive them out. And to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weaknesses and infirmity. Verse 8. What did he tell them? Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Drive out demons. Freely without pay you have received. Freely without charge. Give. All right. Good news. This is called good news. That's why it's called the good news. Matthew 12. Verse 13. Then he said to the man, reach out your hand, and the man reached it out, and it was restored as sound as the other one. That's Jesus. That's the Jesus of the Bible. That's the Jesus that I know. That's the Jesus that I want to come to know more and more and more. And the only way you're going to get to know him is in the same way you're going to get to know a person in the natural is by spending time with them. All right? A lot of people misjudged me. A lot of people said things or thought things about me that weren't true. Now, some were true, and I'm the first one to admit, but they were not true because they did not know me. The word know means intimacy, right? The word know is used many times in the Bible concerning sexual intimacy between a man and a woman in the context of matrimony. So it's only once you can know somebody, you can start make a proper judgment of a person. Righteous judgment, right? We're just supposed to judge, but righteously, right? Not unrighteously, okay? So, all right, so, okay, verse 15. But being aware of this, Jesus went away from there, and many people joined and accompanied him. And what did he do? Did he send them home? Did he heal them the way that he was? No, he cured them all. That's his will. That's what he came for. That's one of the things that he came for. That's part of the kingdom. That's part of the reign of God. Verse 22, then a blind and a dumb man under the power of a demon was brought to Jesus. Imagine that, a blind and a dumb man. How many people we got that in this world today? How many, hey, that are blind and dumb, right? They're deaf, they're mute, right? Because of a demon. But we're not dealing with the demon. We're not dealing with that. We're not going to the core issue, but we should be going. Was brought to Jesus, and what did he do? He cured him so that the blind and the dumb man both spoke and saw. See? Wow, that's Jesus. That's our Jesus. That's the real Jesus. There's a counterfeit Jesus out there, right? False Christ, right? False Gospels, right? A different Gospel. We'll be doing teachings on that stuff down the road. Matthew 14:14. Is that the next one? Got it? Yeah. When he went ashore and saw a great throng of people, what did he do? What did he do? He had compassion. He had compassion. I need to work on that a little bit more. Pity and deep sympathy for them. And cured their sick. He cured them. Yeah, Matthew 15:30. And a great multitude came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the dumb, and many others. And they put them down at his feet. They dropped them at his feet. Wow, I want to see that. I want to see that in my lifetime. I really do. And he cured them. He cured them. Matthew 19:2. Great throngs. I keep seeing that. Great throng. Great crowds. No kidding. My goodness. Great throngs accompanied him, and he cured them there. Right where he was, he cured them. He didn't bring them to some building, in some church or whatever. He cured them on the spot. You know? Matthew 21:14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the porches and courts of the temple, and he cured them. There it is again. This is everywhere, okay? Mark 1:34. And he cured many, there's the word again, he cured many who were afflicted with various diseases, not just some kind of disease. I hear this sometimes. Oh, I've got an anointing to cure cancer. Or I got an anointing to cure a headache. Well, okay, that's great. That's great. Use it. But you know what? I don't see that in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is there to cure all diseases. He's there to heal all diseases. All right? Cured many who were afflicted with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, but would not allow the demons to talk because they knew him intuitively. Mark 3:10. For he had healed so many, that all who had distressing bodily disease kept falling upon him. I love this verse. And pressing upon him in order that they might touch him. This is amazing. We got to renew our minds to this. I'm telling you. We are going to give an account. Leaders, non-leaders alike, but especially leaders, we are going to give an account one day concerning these things. I'll tell you, we're going to see the word like we've never seen it before up there, but I want to see it here and now because I don't need it up there. I want it now. All right? So I can change my life. I can change my doctrine. I can change the things that are wrong in my life, the things that are wrong in my beliefs and my doctrine, my theology. We got to change it now. There it's going to be too late. Verse 15, and to have authority and power to heal the sick and to drive out demons. Mark 5:23, and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. And what do you think he did? He healed her. He went there and he healed her. Praise God. All right, next page, we got Mark 6:5. And he was not able, oh, this is a good one. Oh, this is a good one. This is going to convict some of you, you know. And he was not able to do, Jesus was not able to do even one work of power there. Why? Except that he laid his hands on a few sickly people and cured them. Why? Because of their unbelief. That's in the verse before that. I didn't write it there. But verse 13, and they drove out many unclean spirits and anointed with oil many who were sick. And cured them. There you go. Luke 4:40. Now at the setting of the sun, indicating the end of the Sabbath, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and cured them. Every one of them and cured them. Luke 5:15. but so much the more the news, the good news, the news spread abroad concerning him, and great crowds kept coming together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Wow, that's great. You know, when people show up in your church, they should be showing up to get healed. Not so we can wheel in the wheelchairs and wheel them back out in their wheelchairs. No. That's not God's will. You know, Luke 6, verse 17. And Jesus came down with them and took a stand on a level spot with a great crowd. There it is, a great crowd with his disciples and a vast throng of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to listen to him and to be cured of their diseases. See? They came to be cured of their disease. And guess what? They got healed because they came in faith. They showed up there, and some of them walked long distances. And I'll tell you, the terrain back then, I'll tell you, it wasn't exactly what we've got today. It wasn't smooth sailing. It wasn't all nice and paved or nice grass and everything, you know. But they went there to get their healing, and they got exactly what they believed God for. They got it, yeah, through their faith. Verse 18, even those who were disturbed and troubled with unclean spirits, they were being healed. See? Verse 19, and all the multitude were seeking to touch him, for healing power was all the while going forth from him and curing them all, saving them from severe illnesses or calamities. Yeah, that's Jesus. Luke 7:7. Neither did I consider myself worthy to come to you, but just speak the word. This is the centurion. Just speak the word, and my servant boy will be healed. What did Jesus do? Jesus healed him. Luke 8:47. And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came up trembling, and falling down upon him, she declared in the presence of all the people for what reason she had touched him, and how she had been instantly cured. Yeah. Luke 9, verse 2 and 6. Well, there's a few verses here in the Luke 9, verses 2. And he sent them out to announce and preach the kingdom of God and to bring healing. Verse 6, and departing, they went about from village to village, preaching the gospel and restoring the afflicted to health everywhere. Yeah. Verse 11. And when the crowds learned of it, they followed him, Jesus, and he welcomed them and talked to them about the kingdom of God. And what did he do? He healed those who needed restoration to health. That's what he did. And he hasn't changed, okay? And he lives on the inside of you by his Spirit. Verse 42, and even while he was coming, the demon threw him down and completely convulsed him, but Jesus censured and severely rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and restored him to his father. Amen. That's great stuff. Luke 10:9. And heal the sick in it, and say to them, when Jesus sent his disciples, the kingdom of God has come close to you. Luke 14:4. But they kept silent. Then he took hold of the man and cured him and sent him away. Luke 17:15. Then one of them, upon seeing that he was cured, turned back, recognizing and thanking and praising God with a loud voice. Luke 22:51. But Jesus said, permit them to go so far as to seize me. And he touched the little insignificant ear and healed him. That was back in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they drew out the sword and he cut off his ear. John 5:13. Now the invalid who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had quietly gone away. Didn't make a big fuss about it. Had passed on unnoticed, since there was a crowd in the place. Acts 3:11. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And we're getting near the teaching here. Acts 4:30. While you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. Acts 5:16. And the people gathered also from the towns and hamlets around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those troubled with foul spirits, and they were all cured. All cured. Acts 8:7. For foul spirits came out of many who were possessed by them, screaming and shouting with a loud voice, and many who were suffering from palsy or were crippled were restored to health. Acts 10:38. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, and how he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 14:9. He was listening to Paul as he talked, and Paul, gazing intently at him and observing, he had faith to be healed. See, you got to find faith in people. You know, Jesus even said, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on this earth? You know? Acts 28:8-9. And it happened that the father of Publius was sick in bed with reoccurring attacks of fever and dysentery. And Paul went to see him. And after praying and laying his hands on him, what did he do? Healed him. He healed him. Yeah. Verse 9. After this had occurred, the other people on the island who had diseases also kept coming and were cured. This is exactly what's going to happen. You get one person cured. I told this to my mom quite a few years ago when God began to deal with me about this healing stuff. I said, you get one person that's really sick. You get them healed on your street, in your neighborhood. I'll tell you, they're eventually, the word of mouth, they're going to come knocking on your door. And that's what we need to see. They're going to come knocking on your door. Trust me. All right, then we're moving on to, this is the last page. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and then 28. So starting with verse 9, it says, to another concerning the gifts of the Spirit, to another working wonder faith by the same Spirit, to another the extraordinary power of healing by the one Spirit. Verse 28, so God has appointed some of the church for his own use, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then wonder workers, then those with ability to heal the sick, and then we've got helpers, administrators, those who speak in different tongues. James 5:16, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, and continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its workings. Last verse. And I'm going to make a comment after that. 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus, personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as on an altar, and offered himself on it, at the cross, that we might die, cease to exist, to sin. That's huge right there. We can see some more, we need to see more of that in the church, and live to righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed. All right? So my last point here is this. Before you come to a final conclusion, I just read an article, and I won't get into it today, but we're going to do this on our website. We've got a section on our website. It's going to be book reviews and article reviews. And I'm going to look at some books, and we're going to go over some books. I got a lot of books in my house, and I've been printing articles ever since I got the internet. I've got tons of articles upstairs, and we're going to look at that stuff, and we're going to dissect it. And so all I know is, put it this way. If you've got any kind of disease, any sickness, any ailments, any kind of anything that would cause pain in your body, anything that would cause discomfort in your body, anything that would stop you from or hindering you from accomplishing what God has for you, and even in your daily life, you need to go to the Word of God before anywhere else. You need to find out what God has to say about your circumstance. You have to go to what the Word has to say, which is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. God is the Word, right? So we have to go to the Word to find out what the Word has to say about your circumstance, and you got to build your faith in what the Word says, and don't build your faith in your circumstance. That's building strongholds of wrong believing. You're going to be building strongholds of wrong belief, of unbelief. That's the problem with a big part of the church. I've been there. I was there for years after I got saved, walking by sight, not walking by faith in many areas of my life. And the more I looked at my circumstances, the more I was actually developing or building strongholds in my soul. That's where the strongholds are, in the soul of man. The soul works as a sponge. And so I started building strongholds of wrong believing and unbelief in my soul concerning not just healing, other things in my life. And then God began to deal with me about those things, and He began to set me free through revelation knowledge and through good teaching. So I want to thank you once again for your time. I want to thank you for my the live stream audience. I want to thank you for everyone who follows Missionary Prize, Missionary Aid International on Facebook, on Messenger, on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. And we look forward to seeing you once again. And you guys have a great day. And remember that you got to go to the Word, because the Word is the final authority in your Word. The Word don't change. So we've got to change. Shalom.